Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Limited time only, shop the Memorial Day sale up to 15% off everything at Casper. They have their new Casper cooling collection. What a fun weekend. So tonight, Joey, we have Denver-Portland and...
Heat Bucks.
Those are good games. This is a great time of the year. And so, and it really is. There's a couple series that you know are not going to last long. Sixers-Washington is not a great matchup.
Nets-Celtics.
Those are, you know, the bottom of the East is pretty weak. But if the bottom of the West is Memphis and Donovan Mitchell is... maybe plays, maybe doesn't. He thought he was going to play, and then they called him out, and he was not happy about it. But Utah needs his offense. They, you know, Gobert's their second-best player, but he's not really an offensive guy. So, and the Lakers, I feel like they'll win, but boy, first playoff game in 11 years for Phoenix, that place was... I just talked to Bill Orme, only 11,000 there. It sounded like it was full.
It felt like every... building was full this weekend. Fans were going to make up for the seats that were empty.
Bill Orem writes for The Athletic, has covered the Lakers for the last 7-8 years, and he covers the Lakers for The Athletic. He is joining us live. So, you know, Anthony Davis is an interesting player, Bill, in that, and he's always kind of been like this. He's not necessarily always healthy or self-motivated, but man, when he's on, he is just a handful. And yesterday, you could tell early, it's like, yeah, he's not ready to. When you talk to him after and you talk to Frank Vogel after, was Frank upset? Or do you just, as somebody that covers the Lakers, do you kind of come to terms that you get a bunch of these with Anthony?
I think it's really more the latter. And, you know, I think you hope, obviously, that, you know, biggest game of the year, which is, you know the opening, you know, salvo of a playoff series, you'd want him to be locked in and be the best version of himself. But, you know, he's a guy who tries to make the right play. He's looking for his teammates. He tries to, he tries to facilitate. He's one of the best playmaking bigs in the modern game. But he was not locked in yesterday. I thought he was way too passive. A lot of stuff in the mid-range. And one of the great things about Anthony Davis is his accountability. We've seen it really in his 2 years with the Lakers. He's the first to tell you when he doesn't play to his own standard. And he said all the right things last night that, you know, this loss is on me and we're not going to win a game, let alone a series, if I play the way I did yesterday. But the bottom line is, you know, the Lakers don't have that much room for error against this Suns team. And, you know, being down 0-1 is not the end of the world. They came back from 2-0-1 deficits in the first two rounds last year.
Yeah.
But the Suns are not the Blazers or Rockets of a year ago. And if Chris Paul's healthy, which is going to be a huge if, I think, but that makes this a much tougher hill to climb. So they needed Anthony Davis to be locked in from the beginning. And for whatever reason, he wasn't.
There was sort of an aggressive box out by Chris Paul. Frank Vogel noted it. What was in the Laker locker room? What was the vibe on that moment? Because what was interesting is, you know, LeBron was like rolling on the floor and, you know, and the rest of the team's moving over to, you know, Chris Paul. It's weird. It's LeBron's had these injuries and my gut is like, oh boy, he's being overly dramatic. But it was kind of a marginally dangerous play, right?
Yeah, I think, you know, you watch it and you see Chris Paul kind of get under LeBron's arm and yank. And you're dealing with, you know, obviously, you know, the shoulder of Chris Paul. I mean, there's, I guess, sort of an irony to it because Chris Paul was dealing with his own shoulder injury yesterday. But it was a really strange sequence because you then had basically a fracas, a melee breakout separate from that. So I'm sitting there watching, you know, Montrezl Harrell come in at Cameron Payne, seemingly unrelated to the fact that the best player in the world and the Lakers' most important player is riding in pain on the floor. And I'm like, maybe you guys should stop beating each other up and go see if LeBron is okay, because that is the key to this whole series. But, you know, Chris Paul is a vet. You know, he's obviously a guy who, you know, kind of plays on the margins a little bit to compensate for some of his, for the fact that he's a smaller player. But that was a play that, like you said, Frank Vogel would, you know, had no hesitation to call a dangerous play. And, you know, LeBron, it was interesting. Like, this is LeBron's best friend. And earlier in the game, we saw Chris Paul collide with LeBron, and that led to his shoulder injury. And then you have kind of the tables turned But when LeBron was asked about it, and he was asked directly, was it a dangerous play? And all he said was, I'll be ready for game two. So interpret that how you will. But I felt like there was a little saltiness there from LeBron.
You know, it's interesting because when you watch Chris Paul, even though he wasn't scoring, he was on the floor, and he's so crucial to this team. You know, he's barking at players, he's directing traffic, but he could not control the ball with his right hand. Obviously, the shoulder was an issue. So what's Monty Williams say after? Where are we with that thing?
I mean, the Suns aren't going to tell you that Chris Paul is messed up and that his arm is not going to be the same. But, you know, it was hard to watch him yesterday and think that with a 48-hour recovery time that he's going to be back to 100%. You know, he had a hard time controlling the ball with his right hand on that first possession. Yep. You saw him kind of look at his hand like I don't know if he didn't have feeling in it, but he wasn't able to, you know, he didn't have the same command of the ball that you expect from Chris Paul. And then nothing to his right. He wasn't able to pass the ball with his right hand. He was passing the ball with his left almost exclusively. And anything he did do with his right hand had no zip to it. There was no pace on his passes. And so, listen, a one-armed Chris Paul might be better than like a two-armed Cameron Payne, as good of a year as Cameron Payne has had as his backup. You know, Chris still does have a real control of the game, but that is a huge advantage for the Lakers if Chris is playing injured. And like, obviously injuries are part of the game. LeBron is hobbled with the ankle and the you know, maybe now a shoulder thing. I mean, there is a lot to monitor injury wise, but you know, Chris Paul not being at 100%, you know, to me would probably really clear the pathway for the Lakers to get out of this opening round series.
You know, DeAndre Ayton's a terrific player, but he's a kid, Bill. God, he's 23 years old, and this is not a big team. I mean, Dario Saric is playing center. I didn't even know he was a center. Crowder's about 6'6". So as I watched this series, I thought to myself, you know, it looks solvable. The Laker problems, in my opinion, look solvable. I don't think DeAndre Ayton is going to put the clamps on AD for the next 5 or 6 games. What do you envision over the next, let's just go to game two. What do you envision the Lakers look like offensively?
Well, I first of all, I would expect Anthony Davis to really respond. I mean, we've seen him kind of, when he does hold himself accountable, and LeBron had this line yesterday when he said, I love when AD puts that pressure on himself because he always responds and comes back in a big way. So I do think that'll be the case. I think you'll see a big AD game in game two where the Lakers will make a point of getting him established inside early. I really would not be surprised to see the Lakers change things up in the front court earlier. They seem really committed to Andre Drummond starting at center, but you know, they have very viable options in the front court to pair with Anthony Davis. And Marc Gasol, who was a DNP yesterday, has played well against the Suns. He played big minutes in their matchup with them in the regular season back on May 9th when Anthony Davis had 42 points and went just absolutely crazy against the Suns. I would expect maybe you see a little more Marc Gasol in game two to free up Anthony Davis. And, you know, I just think that, you know, the Lakers are, you know, the defending champions, and I would expect them to respond as such. And, you know, they shot 26% from three in game one, and the Lakers are not a great 3-point shooting team, but you saw them open with KCP missing 4 threes in the first quarter. You know, that's probably not going to happen again. KCP is a streaky shooter, but he was their second, he was probably their third most consistent player in the postseason a year ago.
He was.
And I would expect things to sort of settle down a little bit now that the Lakers are into the series. So I think, you know, I think they'll be better. But you know, the Suns beat the Lakers despite a 16, you know, free throw disparity yesterday. So they won that game handily. Not just you know, it wasn't a close back and forth, could have gone either way game. I thought that was really a blowout for the Suns.
So I felt the same way. I felt they were in control. I'll tell you this: we were talking about Devin Booker. There are guys, Bill, you've covered the league long enough. I'll never compare anybody to Kobe, but there are players who are just natural scorers. Devin Booker is a night. I mean, KCP is a long, strong defender. There's nothing. I mean, I don't remember the regular season games. I'm sure you do. When you play Phoenix, do you just sort of say, let Booker get his 30? I watched him yesterday and I thought he's going to do whatever he wants in this series.
I think there is some of that. And, you know, Devin Booker, it's actually funny, got ejected from one of the Lakers regular season games against the Lakers early on. So we didn't see him in one of those matchups because he took himself out of the game, basically. But, you know, the Suns really have 3 or 4 guys who can beat you. And you know, Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton. And I feel like the Lakers, for all intents and purposes, should have a pretty significant edge on the inside with Ayton. You know, they have Anthony Davis, they have Andre Drummond. LeBron is a dominant interior player. So I don't really see any reason that the Lakers shouldn't be able to neutralize DeAndre Ayton and what the Suns do on the interior. Like you said, Dario Saric, like I'm not overwhelmed by the Suns' front line, but you've got to be able to at least shut everyone else down around Devin Booker if he's going to be getting 30 points. You know, Chris Paul, you know, I don't know if he ended up with like 7 points maybe in game one, but he had total command of the game. The assists were high, the rebounds, controls the pace.
Yep.
I think, you know, you can't let Mikal Bridges, Jay Crowder, Saric, Campaign, those guys can't be getting open looks and scoring, because if you're forcing the ball away from Devin Booker, that is a win, but you can't have those other guys beating you.
Good stuff. Bill Oram, The Athletic, Laker writer since 2013. Bill, as always, good talking to you.
My pleasure, Colin. Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Yeah, I mean, what we saw over the weekend, Trae Young took over the game late for the Hawks, and Devin Booker took over the game. Tobias Harris, he's not a young kid, but Ja Morant, you know, you're seeing some of these young guards and wings. And again, this used to be, I'm not a rearview mirror guy, but it used to be you could hand check. And there's, you know, Michael Jordan or Gary Payton could just keep John Stockton. You could keep guys in front of you. You just can't. You just have, I mean, guys like Trae Young, Ja Morant, Steph Curry, Kyrie Irving, they're going to get to the basket. There's no getting around it. They are going to get to the basket. So it's fun. I mean, Devin Booker, there's not a lot you can do. He is born to score.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is The Herd Line News.
We got a little bit of everything this weekend, and Phil Mickelson made golf history winning the PGA Championship this weekend. He pulled away from Brooks Koepka early on Sunday and held on to win by 2 strokes. This was his second PGA Championship and his first major title since 2013. And at age 50, he became the oldest golfer to win a major.
I love courses on the water, the aerial views. You get a wind. There's something about it. It's you're outside, it's sunny, you're getting wind, so you got to play the wind. You get these beautiful views. I mean, it's not Pebble Beach, but there's just something. And there's something about the crowds when you get these courses next to the water.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, it was
lubricated.
Lubricated for sure, but it was just so different to experience sports again with these big crowds. Like everyone is just rooting Phil on, and the crowds are just like rolling with every up and down. Like it was great to see. I'm glad that there was a crowd there to see that.
And I love that Mickelson held off one of the two really powerful. Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka are hit it a mile. Young and athletic, good-looking guys. So it was kind of old school and old bomber against young bombers. And Brooks Koepka didn't putt particularly well on Saturday, and that gave Phil a little edge, and he held on to it.
He is now the 14th man to win at least 6 majors in his career.
He had
at 50 is impressive.
And what does he have, 45 total? He may have 45 total. I think he's got 44, Mickelson, or 45 total career wins. He got 3 Masters. The reality is he had the misfortune of being in his prime mostly when Tiger had the greatest decade of golf, or you could probably give him at least 4 more majors.
You know, you were talking about old guys dominating, and it reminded me of that Toby Keith song.
What is it?
I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was. The great poet. It's a good line. It's true, though.
It's true.
So the drama between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks seems to be coming to an end. According to Jeremy Fowler, Russ is very happy with the moves Seattle made in free agency in the draft.
Is this a breaking news? Was this just come out?
I mean, I don't know that it's like breaking news. I feel like we could have assumed that things got a little quiet since they've made all these moves.
I've been critical of Pete Carroll and John Snyder, the GM. I thought they did a really good job. They upgraded on the O-line. They definitely upgraded at tight end. They re-signed Chris Carson. I thought Seattle deserves credit. Then they went out and got another wide receiver.
And they clearly opened the doors of communication with Russ.
And a new coordinator.
He seems to be happy with it. He and Pete Carroll had steady contact over the last few months to figure out how the team could get better. Pete Carroll called their issues old news. He said a lot of things got magnified in the media, and they all worked to get on the same page and withstand any scrutiny that came their way, and he feels like we did that. I don't know that it got magnified. Like, it was very, very public that Russ was not happy with the situation, and that wasn't coming from somebody's imagination.
No, they, Russ gave you four cities he moved to.
By the way, just come up with four cities that he was comfortable going to.
It was interesting. So yesterday, Peter King, I was on the interweb, and Peter King had his 1 through 32 power rankings he released yesterday. He had like Seattle 12th, and I was like, time out. They gave Russell Wilson a new receiver and an excellent tight end, Gerald Everett. They upgraded the offensive line, and they drafted a really good corner out of Oklahoma. I'm like, Seattle is not the 12th best team in the league. They're a top six team.
I would have them higher as well, yes.
Yeah, because their issue now, their offensive line, they're below average at center, but left tackle, they're great. Right guard, they're good. Left guard, Gabe Jackson, they're good. Tight end, now they're excellent. I think Seattle's a real team.
Well, I also think that, you know, going into next year, all this drama that was going on seems to now be fixed. They clearly were communicating with Russ and trying to get on the same page with him and keep him happy, which you should do when you have Russell Wilson, a Hall of Fame quarterback, in his prime. Other teams might want to take note of that. And so now they have continuity going into next season, and everyone seems to be happy.
Yeah.
So you're bringing a lot of guys back. You made upgrades, and everyone's on the same page. That's going to be crucial. And they were not bad last year. Everyone thinks like Seattle was a bad team last year. So we were just talking about Chris Paul having to leave yesterday's game against the Lakers with a shoulder injury in the second quarter. He came back and played through the injury in the 99-90 win. And when he was asked if he'll be ready for game two, he said, absolutely. Game two is Tuesday at 10 Eastern.
Joy, look, we're going to show all this video. It looks like a nerve thing. So watch right here. It's like you ever get your head, you wake up in the morning and your shoulder hurts.
Yeah.
Like you twisted your head. If you look at him, you look at the show.
It didn't look like a contact
injury.
No,
it looks like what happened is his head got moved quickly and it pulled a nerve. So I don't know, you know, again, that's whatever a medical staff does to a nerve.
Right.
But it wasn't like a violent collision. It was like his head got jarred quickly. And it's because when he lost control of the ball with his right hand, you could just see he just couldn't control it. That looks more nerve to me.
Well, it was clearly something because he had to come out of the game. I don't know how close to 100% he's going to be, and whatever 100% is relative at this point in the season anyway, but you know, you would prefer this not be what he's fighting through in a series against the Lakers, but I still thought it was a really great, great win for the Suns, and I'm happy for those fans too. Like that was a fun atmosphere. I'm not expecting Anthony Davis to have the same performance moving forward, but who knows? It's going to be a lot tougher for the Lakers in this series if he does.
Oh yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
It has been mocked and ridiculed, but we keep bringing it back because we just masochists. We like to get beat up here. It's called our face bracket. We just, the best player, not necessarily what I believe in the NFL, but what I do in the NFL is I just pick the best quarterback. And so we put the faces up. And last year it was, you know, we got Mahomes and Brady. So it's pretty darn accurate, right? So we'll do the face bracket in the NBA. Does the best player win the series? That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Marino, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Marino. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
Hot water that never runs out. Go tankless. Go with Navien. TanklessMadeSimple.com. TanklessMadeSimple.com. So we do the face bracket in football. You roll your eyes, but the last 2 years, it's been bizarrely accurate. Well, we just say, who's the best quarterback all through the playoffs? And that tells us who's going to win the Super Bowl. So in the NBA, we decided today, let's do a face bracket for the NBA playoffs. And what we're trying to tell you is, who do we believe in this series being played going forward? Who will be the best player in that series? And then what will be the outcome? This isn't necessarily my picks. We're just picking best player, and let's see where it takes us. So,
okay, let's do it.
Western Conference. Rudy Gobert or Ja Morant? Well, it is a guard-driven league. Rudy Gobert in 33 playoff games, in 30 of 33, he scored 20 or fewer. And Donovan Mitchell right now is not playing. So I would say Ja Morant is the best player in this series. He had 10 of his 26 in the fourth. And again, no, you can't stop Ja Morant. You can't keep him in front of you. So Ja Morant is the best player in the Jazz-Memphis series. Okay, next series is Dallas and the Clippers. So Luka or Kawhi Leonard? Well, let's be honest. Kawhi last 2 years has struggled late in games. Luka has not. Luka's averaging in the playoffs in his career 31, 10, and 9.5 assists. So you're asking me, late games are what decide playoffs. I would take Luka over Kawhi. LeBron, Chris Paul, Lakers, Suns. Let's not get into it. LeBron's never lost a first-round playoff series, 14-0. It's LeBron. Damian Lillard or Jokic? Portland, Denver. Okay. Jokic just set a career low in assists in a game. I think Portland's got enough bigs to make him work for it. I don't think Denver has anybody on that roster that can stop Damian Lillard. So I think Dame's going to be the best player in this series. You can take your MVP vote. I don't care. Let's go to the second round in the West. Now it's Ja Morant against Luka. Listen, Luka's got more games, more experience. This is a lot for Ja Morant to go head-to-head with Luka. And Luka's got 3 triple-doubles in 7 career playoff games. Ja Morant's got 3 triple-doubles in his career. I would take Luka. Okay, LeBron against Dame Lillard. Again, LeBron not only is great, he has owned Portland. Now, with Powell, they match up a little better against him, but LeBron has averaged 28, 10, and 10, so I'll take LeBron. And then Western Conference Finals, LeBron against Luka. Well, LeBron's reached the finals the last 9 times he's been in the playoffs, so I'm going to take LeBron over Luka in the Western Conference Finals. So there is my face bracket. So in review, Ja Morant over Rudy Gobert, Luka over Kawhi. Again, I'm not saying all time. I'm saying in that series, LeBron over Chris Paul and Dame over Jokic. Then I take Luka over Ja Morant, LeBron over Dame, LeBron over Luka, and then LeBron wins it. So that's the Lakers in the finals of our goofy NBA face bracket. Not telling you it's what I think, although this does work out. But the Luka Kawhi one's interesting because you're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Last 2 years, Kawhi can't close. That's what playoff games are. Luka does. I'm taking Luka over Kawhi in that series. Let's go to the East. All right, Joel Embiid or Bradley Beal. First of all, Beal's 0 for 4 this year against the Sixers. I like Bradley Beal. I don't think he's 100% right now. I would take Joel Embiid. Julius Randle, Trae Young. Now, it's not fair because yesterday Randle was bad. But let's not kid ourselves. Again, it's a Ja Morant situation. Trae Young is more explosive, a better pure shooter. He can make his own shot. Julius Randle doesn't really create his own shot much. Trae Young can get a shot anytime he wants, any day of the week, twice on Sundays. And yesterday was Sunday, and he did get it twice. So I'll take, in that spot, Trae Young. Kevin Durant, Jason Tatum. Well, listen, Kevin Durant did not play well early and still led both teams in points and rebounds. If you want to know how good Kevin Durant is, yesterday's a prime example. That was the quietest 32 points you will ever see in a game. I mean, Kevin didn't even play particularly well for about 50% of the game and ends up with 32. He is so gifted as a scorer. And then we go to Jimmy Butler against Giannis. Now, again, in this series, what'll matter more? I would take Jimmy Butler. He's a better late-game free-throw shooter. He is a better offensive skill player than Giannis is. Butler, by the way, had a great year, career high in rebounds, assists, and field goal percentage for the season. I do not trust Giannis late in games. So There's your first round in the East. Let's go to the second round. Joel Embiid against Trae Young. Well, Embiid, in his last four playoff games, has given you 30-plus. He's a handful. Joel Embiid's the closest thing we have to Shaq for you guys who are in your 20s and didn't see Shaq. Shaq was like Joel Embiid, both funny, both explosive, both occasionally get injured, both when they're on unstoppable. Now it's KD, Jimmy Butler. Well, I think KD is a more gifted offensive player. By the way, they've met 10 times, and KD has beaten Jimmy Butler 7 of the 10 times they've met, and KD has outscored Jimmy Butler in every single game they have met. And say, now we go to the conference finals. Look at Embiid. Embiid even looks funny. He's like laughing in the picture. The still shot, he's happy. So Embiid against Kevin Durant. Well, Kevin Durant, this is an amazing stat if you really think about it. Kevin Durant, because he's had injuries and missed playoff games, right? Kevin Durant has 41 playoff games with over 30 points or 30-plus points. KD's a two-time NBA champ. He's a two-time finals MVP. So in big games, you would take KD. And so now, in review, let's look at the Eastern bracket. So I took Embiid over Bradley Beal, Trae Young over Julius Randle, KD over Jason Tatum, and Jimmy Butler over Giannis. You see that right there. Second round, I took Embiid over Trae Young. I took KD over Jimmy Butler. He's had his number. Then I take KD over Joel Embiid. And now we get LeBron against KD. Oh, they're smiling now. One of them's going to be crying after that. LeBron has averaged more points, more rebounds, and more assists than KD in 14 career head-to-head playoff matchups. Bet you didn't know that. LeBron's a four-time champ, a four-time finals MVP. KD's half that with both. I would take LeBron. I say this with reservation based on what mood and what level of motivation Anthony Davis has.
But that's not how the face bracket works. It's just about LeBron.
That's right. You're right. My bad. You just pick it on faces.
Not just the best player.
Huh?
It's just the best player in this series.
Yes. In that series, who will be the best player? Like Jimmy Butler, Giannis, I pick Milwaukee. But you cannot, it's just like Kawhi, Luka. Kawhi, last 6 minutes. Non-factor. Giannis, last 5 minutes. I don't want the ball in his hands. So you're telling me in the moment, even though I picked Milwaukee, and I watched, I didn't sell any of my stock yesterday on Milwaukee. I'm like, they're inartistic. This is what they are. This is how Milwaukee's going to win the game. Like, when I watch the Knicks, I'm like, yeah, all the games in this series are going to look just like that. In fact, if you're a Knicks fan, you could wake up this morning and go, it's kind of encouraging. That's the worst game Julius Randle's played in a month, and we could have won the game. I mean, I think
yesterday you were pretty frustrated, but yeah, once you've settled down a little bit.
Think about it.
You wouldn't. The thing about the first game of the series is we all overreact to it.
Of course.
And but put way too much emphasis on it, but because as a fan, you want to get that first game.
Well, and the team that wins the first game wins 79% of the games.
Yeah, it's not that it doesn't matter. It certainly matters.
Ask yourself this, though. Isn't it weird? You know you have an institutional problem when the Clippers were totally healthy. They have two of the best two-way players in the league, Paul George, Kawhi. Playoff Rondo. Ty Lue's won a title. And they couldn't score for 6 minutes against Dallas. Dallas is this is not a shot at anybody. Luka's not a good defensive player yet. They couldn't score against Dallas. Like, what does that tell you?
That's what I said.
That's a problem.
I know Ty Lue said that's not why they sat them, but the public perception is that you duck the Lakers. Be careful. Be careful what you wish for. Because if you get knocked in the first round after pulling that move, whether they did or didn't, most people think they did.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Chris Broussard was on earlier today. We did ask him. We asked him about, you know, the AD thing. He drives you nuts. And why, Broussard, I asked him, why can't you count on AD the rest of the way?
The Lakers, you can't consistently expect great performances from AD this year. He's not himself. So I think Colin, throughout this series, he's going to have a couple of great games. He's going to have a couple of solid games. And he's going to have another bad game, probably. It's not just his numbers, which were horrible yesterday, and his plus minus was twice as bad as any other player in the game. It's that he let DeAndre Ayton, in his first ever playoff game, gain confidence.
Yeah.
It was a horrible performance by AD. I think the Lakers still win this series, but he's going to have his hands full now.
Yeah, Lakers being down 0-1, they were down 0-1 twice last year, and then both series won the next four. So that's we don't worry about the Lakers being down. LeBron is fine being backed up against a wall. I use M-Drive every day, free shipping, 60-day money-back guarantee, keeps me leaner, little more energy as I age. Go to mdriveformen.com, mdriveformen.com, again, free shipping. NHRA from Houston on FS1 is next. Speak for Yourself is on FS2. Check it out. We'll see you tomorrow for Joy Ryan in LA. It's The Herd.